Life is a series of decisions, and the choices we make determine the life we will live. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about life's greatest decisions.
Let me encourage you to be the kind of a man whose direction is not questioned but is known, that you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ, that you are on the Lord's side, and that when it comes to decisions of your entertainment or your family direction or friendships, that you will make those decisions based upon the fact, will it be known by this decision that I am on the Lord's side?
The road to spiritual maturity is paved with life-changing decisions. In our series, Life's Greatest Decisions, we will discover practical ways to apply God's principles to our everyday lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Life is made up of more decisions than we can count, but God desires to give us the wisdom we need to make the right choices. Through today's scriptures, we will be equipped to make choices that bring honor to God and peace to our hearts. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Deciding Who to Believe.
With this description that God gave to them, with this instruction that they were not to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve could not say that they did not know. They did know. The Bible says that Eve repeated the instructions back to Satan. She knew exactly what was expected of her from God. And may I say today that men and women in America know exactly what God is calling them to do. Though they may willfully choose to deny Him, they know there is a God calling out to them. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the Father is still asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of. Hear that phrase. For this, those people who scoff our faith and who scoff the biblical account of creation and who scoff the teaching of God's word, the Bible says they are willingly ignorant. They choose not to believe the word of God. They are willingly ignorant of it, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. You see, Adam and Eve knew what was right, but they had not made up their mind to obey God. Thus, they were easy prey for the devil. And may I say this morning that if you do not make up your mind, your unmade mind will unmake you. The very fact that you're open to considering what someone says that is opposed to the word of God is an indication that the devil, who is as a roaring lion looking for the little lambs lagging behind and questioning and wondering, he will devour you rather quickly. Make up your mind to obey God, you see. But Adam and Eve had not done that. And so the prohibition of the tree of knowledge was very clearly known to them. Notice secondly, his punishment for those who partake. His punishment for those who partake. God says, I have a punishment. I want you to be aware of it. He says this in verse number 17, but of the tree of the knowledge, chapter 2, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, there are a lot of different interpretations of Adam and Eve and how this all took place. One Sunday school teacher heard two brothers discussing it, a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old boy. And she went to the boys and said, boys, now, how did Adam and Eve die? And the 4-year-old said, they ate some bad fruit. Well, it's a little deeper than that. It's not about the fruit alone. It's about the disobedience to God in eating that fruit. And because they ate of that fruit, there began instantly the death of their lives. There began instantly the severancing of their body and soul, which were created by God to be eternally together. The Bible says that God breathed into Adam and Adam became a living soul. God intended for their fellowship to be eternal and for them to be continuously in His image. But when sin came, death came at that very moment. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam and Eve, as the first man and woman, brought sin into the world. That's why we don't have to teach our children how to sin. How many parents understand what I'm talking about? Our children have a way of learning how to sin rather rapidly. They are in the nursery right now biting and devouring one another. No one teaches them these things. They just pick it up from their human Adamic nature. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And that is why we must understand this morning in our fallen condition, in the depravity of mankind, that every moment of a man's life may be considered an act of dying until the soul and the body are separated. Why is this the case? It is the case because man, who was created in the image of God, who was created without sin, made a choice, made one of life's greatest decisions, made perhaps the greatest decision in the history of the human race, to deny the word of God, to obey the devil rather than to obey God. And because of that, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now we see this morning the design of a loving God. He says, Adam and Eve, all of these trees, they're yours. All of this earth, it's yours. But as a part of my design, there's one tree I'm going to ask you not to partake of. God's design was clear. Notice secondly this morning, the deception of a lying devil. The deception of a lying devil. By the way, how many of you know the devil is a liar and the father of all lies? Amen. Let's see as he comes to Adam and Eve. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Here we see a serpent. Isn't this amazing? Some have said that the serpents in this time of history were somewhat appealing and interesting and beautiful, that there would not have been the normal fear factor that we would experience today. How many of you are like me? You hate snakes. How many of you believe the only good snake is a dead snake? Amen. I once was invited to go to do some marriage counseling for a couple here in Lancaster. And as I went into the home, I went into the living room, I said, what seems to be the problem? And the lady said, well, the problem is that my husband, he likes to catch Mojave green rattlesnakes out in the desert and bring them into our house, and it scares me to death, and I want him to get rid of the snakes, and he won't get rid of the snakes. And I said, well, were we talking about one or two, or what are we talking about? We went into the guest bedroom where there were probably 50 aquarium tanks filled with snakes. The guy was weird. He caught these snakes, he kept them in his house. How many of you know that's a sure prescription for marital difficulty? He had a choice to make, the snakes or his wife. And I'm not really sure what he did choose. I tried to help him, but most of us today do not feel that snakes are the type of a creature we'd like to have a little visit with, maybe a dog, perhaps a cat, but not a snake. But the fact of the matter is, at this time, this snake was appealing as a creature. But even more than that, the thing we know from Scripture is that this serpent was literally Satan himself. The Bible says in Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now let's learn some things about Satan this morning. First of all, he was very cunning. He was very cunning. The Bible says he comes in verse number 1 as a subtle creature. I wonder, have you ever had someone with cunningly devised fables pull you away and trick you? Have you ever had someone in a cunning manner deceive you? Now I'm going to tell you, the devil's going to make you promises that he will never keep. He is a cunning, wicked devil. And he comes in a cunning way, and he begins by saying to Eve, Yea, hath God said? He begins to question the eternal truth of God. 2 Corinthians 11:13 tells us how cunning the devil is. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it be no great thing if his ministers are transformed as ministers of righteousness. God says you need to be on guard, because even people who seem to be very religious and they know all about the Bible perhaps, and they seem to be religious, they can be transformed as satanic powers and beings into a false teacher or minister of light. And so as Christians today, we need great discernment, because the devil is very cunning, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your minds, listen, your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. God says even as Satan deceived Eve, he can deceive you as a Christian, as a child of God today. So we see that Satan was cunning. Want you to notice, secondly, Satan was questioning. He comes questioning. Now let me say, there's nothing wrong with a sincere-hearted question given towards a parent, given towards someone in authority. It is a sign of a healthy relationship when questions can be asked. But when the question is intended to undermine God's word, the question is not a good question. And Satan comes to question the word of God. Notice verse 1. He says, yea, hath God said? He is here questioning the word of God. He's carrying in the back of his tail a little sign that says, question authority. He's the inventor of that philosophy. And he says, you need to question God's authority. He questions the word of God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, listen to this, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It doesn't say some people might stop going to church a little bit, or some people might have some, you know, spiritual time of declension. It doesn't say that they will not be growing like they should. It says they will literally depart from the faith. Why? Because they will give heed to the seducing spirits. And you see, Satan has been questioning the truth of the Bible since the very beginning of time. Everything that is good and pure and doctrinally sound about this book, which would be everything in this book, is under attack by Satan today. Take the deity of Christ, the fact that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Colossians 2:9 says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That doctrine is under attack by the cults today. It is under attack by people who believe that an angel came to Joseph Smith, and that this angel said to Joseph Smith, we need to have a Latter-day Saints church, and in this church we're going to deny that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. By the way, we go back to 1 Corinthians, we're reminded that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. There ought to be a little clue here that a religion started by an angel of light with a false message should be rejected. Amen. Muhammad with his message. Muhammad's message, and in the book of Quran, it is clearly stated that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, and that furthermore, God never had a son. What is that? It is an attack of the devil on the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, yea, hath God said. He has been attacking this doctrine since the beginning of time. Everything that is precious and written in the Word of God. Marriage, the Bible says in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. That's God's will, that we would love our wives, that we would not harbor bitterness. But the devil says, hey, you ought to be bitter. She's not meeting your needs. She's not doing what you expect her to do. Why, it's all right to go out and just have some other friends out in this area or that. It's all right to click on the internet and do such and so. Hath God really said that you have to love just your wife in that way? And everything that is pure and right about the Bible, then Satan will question that. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 9, that a Christian woman should dress herself in modest apparel. Satan says, ah, that's not true. That's prudish. That's Victorian. That's something of the past. Why? Go out and just be whatever you want to be. And everything in the Bible that is true and pure and lovely is under attack by Satan today. Hebrews 10 and verse 25, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. God says, I want my people to come and meet together and worship me at church. And the devil says, ah, where does it say you got to go 2 times a week? Why, we're in the day of grace. We can do whatever we want. Yea, hath God said. I think you're getting the idea. Every truth in the Word of God is under attack. He is a questioning devil. He questions the Word of God. He denies the Word of God. Notice in verse number 4, the Bible says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know what Satan is telling her? He's saying, hey, Eve, if you take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be just like God. You can become your own God. And herein we find the roots of secular humanism, which is being propagated in our public schools and in many of the leadership manuals that are being published in secular workplace today. It is this thought that we don't need God. We don't need the Bible telling us what to do. We can be our own God and do what we want to do. And that's the lie of the devil since the beginning of time. Just be your own God. It is the deception of a lying devil. Well, notice not only the design of a loving God and the deception of a lying devil, but notice thirdly this morning, the decision of a lustful person. Now, someone says, well, that's kind of a tough way to describe Eve. Well, let's just take it a step further. Every one of us could be described that way. How many of us are willing to say, I have an Adamic fleshly nature that I live with? Anybody else want to be honest about that? Now, when we're born again, the Holy Spirit takes up presence in our lives. Thank God, we are new creatures in Christ. But the fact of the matter is, every one of us have the potential to fall to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and to the pride of life. And so here we see this decision that Eve is going to make. We see her here on one hand with a loving God saying, here's my will. On the other hand, with a lying devil saying, that's not really true. And in the middle, we see a woman who will make a choice and a husband, Adam, who will also make a choice. And the question is simple. This, would they decide to believe God or would they decide to believe Satan? Eve would have to make a choice. We face similar choices every day, and it's not a matter of rejecting your spouse or your Sunday school teacher or your pastor. In many cases where the scriptures are concerned, it's simply this simple: will I please God and do His will, or will I hear the devil and do his will? Now, the Bible says in 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, these are the tricks of the devil in a nutshell. These are the ways that Satan will fight against everyone in this room. And let's see it. First of all, in our notes, there is the lust of the flesh. And we see Eve in this struggle. The Bible says in chapter 3 and verse number 6, and when the woman saw the tree, that it was good for food. Satan got her thinking about it. Boy, I bet that would be good. Boy, I'm hungry right now. Why? That's probably better than a whole box of Krispy Kremes all at once. I could really enjoy having that fruit. She saw that it was good for food. Now remember, the Bible says in Galatians 5:16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But Eve now had not made up her choice to obey God. She was allowing herself to contemplate something, and the lust of the flesh was becoming stronger and stronger. That's why there ought to be some things that you just say, I'm not even looking at that. We're not going there, you see. Because I'm not going to contemplate what it might be when I know it is wrong. Secondly, there was the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. The Bible says here in this passage, not only did she think about the good food, but it says it was pleasant to the eyes. This was something that looked so good. By the way, the devil is great at packaging sin. The devil has billboards and magazines, and he says, wow, look at all the fun you could have if you just live this lifestyle. He never shows the other side of the picture. He never shows little children crying so hard that they can hardly breathe because daddy just left mommy. The devil doesn't show that. The devil doesn't show the emergency room where the drunk driver just caused tremendous heartache and perhaps loss of life. He just shows you this picture of sin and says, look at this. Wouldn't this be great? James 1:15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Always remember, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Thirdly, notice the pride of life. The pride of life. It says in verse number 6, she saw that it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. She said, I want to be like God. I'd like to have this wisdom to know what's going on outside of the garden here. I'd like to be able to have it my way. You know, the Bible says in James 4:6, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Dale Earnhardt was known as the intimidator. He would oftentimes, with special techniques, pull into the lead and find himself moving ahead to victory. In the Daytona 500, he was in third place with just a few laps to go, traveling at 180 miles an hour. Right at that point in time, he was barely tapped on the back of his race car, and it was at that moment that he swung into the wall. To many who saw this footage, it didn't look like a life-ending kind of a crash. It was definitely a bad crash, but there was the hopefulness that maybe Mr. Earnhardt would be all right. But in a matter of moments, it was obvious he wasn't. Dale Earnhardt had died. The autopsy revealed that he died from blunt trauma to the head. Many speculated in the days after this accident that had he been wearing this Hans device, the head and neck device, this safety device, that although he was in the crash, had he been wearing that device, his life may have been spared. But you see, before the race ever began, he had exercised the power of choice, and it was his choice not to wear that device. And once you exercise the power of choice, now that choice has power over you. He couldn't stop in the middle of the race and put it on. His choice had been made, and so whether or not he would have survived is unknown to us today. But the hope or the possibility of it was gone because he never put the device on. He made a choice. He didn't need it. The book of Proverbs says that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And I don't know how many thousands of times I have preached. And while it may not be voiced during the message, there have been those who have said within themselves, I don't need this stuff. You know, I can handle this Christian life. I'll do my time here. And that's all right. But I want to tell you something, friend. A lot of times pastors will come along to the wreckage and help to pick up pieces that didn't have to be if we would have just listened to the voice of God. Our philosophy of life is not best expressed in the words we say. It is best expressed in the choices we make. We can say all day long, oh, I'm a Christian, I believe in God. But the way we make our choices really shows forth what we believe in our hearts. Now listen today. Though all are dead in sin, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came in order that we might have eternal life. Romans chapter 5 and verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Now listen very carefully. On one side, we have Adam, whose sin came into the world and who tilted the scales against all of us. We were judged guilty. But thank God, Jesus Christ came as the virgin-born Son of God. He stepped onto the scales of justice. He shed his blood on the cross. He rose up on the third day. And though we were judged guilty in our sin, God set the scales of justice aright, because by one man we were guilty, but by one man we can be forgiven. And that one man is Jesus Christ. For Christ also hath once suffered for the sins of men, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being quickened by the Spirit. There is one God and one mediator between man and God, and it is the man Christ Jesus. And God wants you to know today that even as he created Adam and Eve to fellowship with him, to have love and to have joy with him, so he desires that with you today, and that it is possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. You may be one here today who's just realized that the penalty of sin is real and the presence of sin is real in your life. But I want you to know as well this morning that forgiveness is yours as you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sin and say, Lord, I ask you to be my Savior today. The Bible says, for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Many of us today are like Eve in the garden. On one side, the Word of God. On the other side, the word of a lying devil. Some of you today need to listen to God and trust Jesus as your Savior. Some of you today need to listen to God and stop messing around with your spiritual life and your family life and say, I'm not going to listen to the lies of the devil anymore. I'm deciding today to hear God as he speaks to me. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your time and your love, and thank you for your word today. Thank you that you care enough to reach out to us and help us to make right decisions. Help those this very moment who are deciding who to believe. Will they believe God or will they believe Satan? Father, we see the decision that Eve made had such tragic results. But Lord, our decisions have results. Help us to make right decisions.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Pastor Chappell is making a concerted effort to reach the world with the good news of Christ's love, but he can't do it alone. It takes a special group of Christians to stand with him each month. Daily in the Word partners. And today, it has never been easier to become one of them. When you support Daily in the Word Ministries, you're investing in the lives of men, women, and young people who will come to know Jesus Christ through the various outreaches of Daily in the Word. I challenge you to become a partner today by calling 1-800-688-6329 or by logging on to dailyintheword.org and making a donation. Your gift will be faithfully put to use as we spread the gospel around the world to this generation. We will also send you a copy of our latest magazine and a book from Dr. Chappell as a thank you for your monthly support. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.